And welcome. That's right. I started. Hello and welcome to episode,
Hot mic.
Episode 29 of the No Skips podcast. I am Lisa.
This is Jack, just still trying to catch up for the evening.
Your mic was off and I said, no, we're going.
We're going.
We're going for this.
Doing it live.
Yeah.
Off the dome, as it were.
Off the chain.
Please, somebody stop me, he said gravely.
We have quasi old fashions. And yeah. I have a heated rice sock around my neck, and that's how you know we're ready to talk about the 2006 hit.
Return to Cookie Mountain.
Return to Cookie Mountain.
As we return to our later 30s.
Where I just needed an Epsom salt bath, which I also took, and a nice drink. It may be a good book, which I won't read.
Yeah.
Because
you
I'm playing
look
Candy
at
Crush.
It. See,
no, I'll use it to hold up my phone at night.
Exactly. I love books. They give me a real sense of peace. I don't even have
Are
to read
proud?
Them.
Are you so proud of yourself right now?
I'm telling you, I don't read them. I just bring them with me and I feel powerful. I say, wow, this guy's definitely a guy who read books. Who read books? What?
It's the opportunity to read a book.
It's true.
It's the facade.
It's the facade.
I don't care. I will openly get a t-shirt that says, I only want to play Candy Crush all day, like a full-size trash bag.
All right, here's a question.
What's up?
Where is Cookie Mountain? Out of the great mountain ranges, where's Cookie Mountain?
I feel like it's in Kentucky.
I was going to say, I feel like, geologically speaking, it's an older mountain.
You think so?
I like that. I like that.
You like Kentucky?
This?
I'm into it. TV right. On the radio. Hold on. Okay. I have done such a poor job in the past of actually introducing the band I wanted to this time.
Well, let's introduce our show, and then we'll introduce the band.
Oh, my bad.
Okay? So.
Okay, you go. I'm going to have a drink.
No skips.
Uh-huh.
Lisa and Jack.
Mm-hmm. Don't...
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Some gross slurping ASMR.
We just listened to some classic albums. Classic by many different
definitions.
Standards. Sometimes yeah. It's just mine.
Yes.
We're not doing it's not super duper journalism research interview stuff. We're having fun. We're listening to albums, having some thoughts, having some reactions, having a good time. I hope you have a good time.
No allergic reactions.
No allergic reactions. Hey, tonight it's Return to Cookie Mountains. No allergic reactions. There are no nuts in the
cookies. There are some nuts in this album. There are definitely a few nuts in this album.
Interesting. All right. Interesting. Anyway, this is funny to me because Lisa has always liked and listened to Wolf Like Me, the standout single. It's
correct.
It's a banger.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
And I just kind of assumed she'd heard this album or listened to it, but she really hadn't. So it was kind of like, oh, we got to do this.
You're giving me a lot more credit than you ever should. So thank you for having faith in me. I'm glad I could let you down again. I think I would always expect every song on this album to sound like Wolf Like Me. And then you start off with I Was a Lover, which is a...
Had you not listened to that one either?
No. I knew I Was
that
a Lover.
One.
But I'm saying that... The hump of getting over the first few songs, I don't mean to say it negatively, but it's a different vibe than Wolf Like Me.
Oh, for sure.
And so you're like, okay, hold on. They're doing something different than I expected. And so it takes some time to get used to it, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
TV
Enjoy
on
the band.
TV on the Radio is Tunde Adebimpe, the best fucking name in the universe.
Yeah. You're just happy just saying that name.
I am. It makes me very happy. Mm-hmm. David Sitek. Thank you. I couldn't read from here because I need glasses.
Guitarist and producer, you know.
Kip Malone, Jaleel Bunton, and formerly Gerard Smith, who unfortunately passed away in 2011. Bummer.
That's
I think
right.
I remember when that happened and
That's
being like,
right.
oh.
That's rough.
This is their second studio album, and it was named Album of the Year by Spin Magazine for 2006. Mm-hmm. Hella good album, absolutely. I need to just go ahead and get this off my chest.
Let's hear it.
I have a major, major crush on Tunde.
He's amazing.
Major crush.
He comes off as like dorky and sweet, but he's not just that. He's like in this super killer band.
He's just of a different cut.
Absolutely.
He's just of a different world.
Absolutely.
There's something, truly otherworldly about him and his aura. And I mean, of course, he also went into acting, which was...
Yeah.
Kind of another love of mine because he was in Rachel Getting Married, which
great
was a
movie.
Great, yeah, he had a great little part in that.
Yeah.
What was the something super nasty baby or something like that. I saw.
I don't know.
I want to see that. I haven't seen. But whatever the case is,
super nasty baby.
Super, I think that's it. Yeah.
Is it?
I think it is super nasty. But no, I think it's super nasty baby.
I don't want to hear that phrase ever again.
Well,
there it is.
You're going to hear it at least twice more tonight. But yeah,
that's a super nasty baby.
Hella nasty baby.
That's a super nasty boss baby. Anyway.
I have a big crush on Toon Day. I just need to get that off
that's
my
fair.
Chest.
That's fair.
I've had woman wood for him for a while. Yeah, I just
that's
say
gross.
Woman. It is gross because I feel gross things about
all
how
right.
Toon Day.
All right.
But this album doesn't help. This album doesn't help it at all. It's fair a very enough. Sexual album.
It's sexual. It's sensual. It is dark. It's exploratory.
Yeah. And it's also called a rock album. And I'm like, no, it's not.
That I would say it's certainly... I feel like that's an orientation that feels at least like that's the boat you start in.
Right.
And listening.
Right.
Right. It goes to other places.
Yeah.
It's very right to call it more experimental, more.
Right.
A little bit of everything.
There's
really.
A little bit of like tribal and what did I wrote? A chaotic electronic tribal explosion is what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Because there's it's just it's.
It makes me think about how a lot of people talked about with Radiohead as the way they went on Nigel Godrich, who is their producer, became sort of more and more integral to the working of the band and how people thought of the band because the producer was so close in. Mm-hmm. And I think David Sitek being in the band and their producer is part of the secret sauce for this album because it's such an expansive sound.
Right.
I don't know if you get that. I don't know if you have that twinning of vision without, like, the call's coming from inside the band.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm. It's just an incredible album. Ish.
Oh, no. No, it's an incredible
it's
album.
It's an incredible album. There are incredible pieces here. I don't love it start to finish, but it's a great album.
That's okay. Well, there's
and some of the worst cover art.
Yeah, that's the best part. Okay, so it's 2006, and I remember vividly because I had... there are a couple of bands that I was such a rabid... Because this is just out of college. Mm-hmm. I was such a rabid music listener and, like, tracking bands. Because, like, this was still kind of in the tail end of the MySpace era. So, like... Yeah. And but long prior to SoundCloud and everything else, but like not that bands still don't get hype prior to a major signing debut, but like this album built hype. I heard this album in the pre-release leak format, and I loved it, and I was really excited to see what was going to happen. And then it comes out, and I was like, "Holy shit!
Mm-hmm.
Who did you pay a 15-year-old who loved Photoshop, but also like?" Mid-late 90s style
right.
type face.
There are a lot of it's things just, to consider
it's
just, here.
It's rough.
It's the TV on the radio, the type treatment is not that great. Return to Cookie Mountain is also not great type treatment. And then the Bird's Nest I don't get. And I also don't, I didn't look up the background of Return to Cookie Mountain as a title, which I wish I had.
I think it's just there. It's just sort of a semi evocative, almost a sort of a, just a non sequitur.
But it's so whack. Just don't,
right.
I don't love it. But
it's something about the right amount of whack, though. I don't know. I
you think so?
It.
Okay,
yeah,
but we can at least agree upon the fact that the artwork is
trash. Like I have serious reservations about buying this on vinyl, not because I don't love the music and haven't listened the hell out of this album. I'm probably north of 100, 200 listens on this album.
Oh.
Easy.
Look who's
I'm
hanging
just
brain over there.
Yeah, I did just hang brain a little bit.
Me
I agree.
Too.
I agree. It's a work that even they, who have done a lot of really cool stuff before and after this, never quite got
right.
this mix right, and would be fools to try and capture again. You can return to Cookie Mountain but once, my friends.
There is no return. This is just a one-way ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
So Return to Cookie Mountain opens with, well, actually, before we go into the music, do you want to say anything else more overreaching or overarching about the album itself?
When we get to Wolf Like Me, I will talk about what the most interesting thing to me once the album came out it properly, which was they saved the album, in my estimation, by changing the running order. And I had never given a serious thought to me, that's part of the key art of sequencing an album, is part of the art of, like, album as art means key sequencing, like sequencing the songs right. Because you just, you know, you can make songs in lots of different orders, but putting them in the right order, the running order, is huge. And they made a big call between the leak and the album actually coming out. They changed the running order and it saved the album. So we'll talk about
saved
that.
The album. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Was I Was a Lover the opening track for the leak?
I'm not gonna. Jeez. No spoilers.
Whoa, no spoilers podcast.
So
I was a lover. This is where I got tripped up, because it's not that this song is bad, but there are a couple of components to this song that turn me off. So
is it the sitar vibe?
It's like a horn sample, which isn't, it's not bad per se, but coupled with the you can hear someone pressing the keypad almost, or the I don't know,
the sampler. like
doom 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 doo doo doo. It wasn't that particular addition was a turn off to me. So those two things combined was just like I would hit a speed bump right off the bat. It's not that the song is bad, it's not, but those two things combined made it a little bit more difficult for me to want to get into the album.
Okay, I can hear that.
Yeah.
I forget who said it, but it was some musician of some renown or some esteem, and they were talking about how much they love this album, and they described it as being like they broke all of the rules and yet it works somehow.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's as strong of a high level, you know, description of the album as you get, because there are tons of things that just don't work conventionally. Song structure, the way they sing, it's almost always two or more voices all the time.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yes. And often an octave apart. Yeah. And so that can be kind of, that can often be a little ominous sounding. I would say that the feel of this album, and this is a compliment in my brain, is sloppy / glossy. It's like
we already have our takeaway.
Well,
word.
No, I mean, but think about it, because this is it, because this, I think that I Was a Lover is a great example of that, because you can hear that. I don't feel like it was perfect.
Yeah,
you know, especially when we were talking hitting the sampler.
Sure.
It did not feel exactly on beat, on rhythm sometimes, which I'm probably wrong about, but it doesn't feel it. But whatever the case is, it still works just fine.
Yep.
And that is echoed in many of the songs on this album.
I hear that.
In different ways. So, but the guitar part towards the end of I Was a Lover is so good.
Right.
It's
Psytech,
I mean,
again. That just there's volume, there's space.
Right.
No one can cover David Bowie's Heroes just because the magic of how they it's called bouncing down, right? You had I think it was like an early days was 4-track, and then later it was an 8-track, and then sometimes later 16-track. But whatever it was in the 70s, they only had so many tracks to work with. And just like the Beatles, part of that, there's a secret sauce where once you start running, it's like running out of layers in Photoshop. Once you start running out of tracks, what they would do is bounce down. So you'd take a couple of those tracks and then record them down to one track. But the problem is, if you kept doing this, because you're doing it on analog tape, it changes the feel of the recording.
Yeah.
It changes the tone. There are some ineffable qualities that change. And so Heroes is one of these songs that they just were flying without a net. And they bounced it down a bunch, and they got this depth that nobody ever has really touched. That said, TV on the Radio covered Heroes, and I think they were one of the only... Yeah, we'll play that after the show. Look it up, people. Pause this. Look it up.
Don't.
Come back to the show. Don't pause this.
You're going to not come back. Stay here with us.
Please don't leave.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the only ones to really take a solid stab at it, because that's what Psytech does so well on this album.
Mm-hmm.
There's space. There's this really, like,
there's a lot of good space,
deep
here.
Deep sense of sound. And I think that's what really helps with I Was a Lover. Is first, it's that, yeah, it's that sample, that weird horde sample is alien. It's a little bit like that. It's like you wake up to take one of my favorite
song titles from Colin Stetson. He opens up New History Warfare Volume 2 with Awake on Foreign Shores is the name of the first song on that album.
Okay.
And that's what Return to Cookie Mountain starts off with, is you wake up and the water is like purple and the sand is green and you're saying, oh shit, like what's going on here? And then it's a journey, right? It's a right. very like, it's a sonic journey. Is what I think. I think that's maybe what works for me with the title. Is that like I feel like it's a climb up a mountain, you know?
You think
it,
so?
It feels like there's some kind of element of progression that even though some parts are sloggier than others,
mm-hmm.
it's very vivid and right. and varied.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, done.
Ship it.
Goodbye.
Hours, track two. This is a weird one for track two for me.
Yes, and this we talk again about resequencing. It is tricky because ours it starts with a do. Is that the we're talking? I have to think about this.
Yeah, I was gonna say
so many start with like a vocal harmony, which I want to point out.
Yeah, I was gonna say this was the song that to me really showed off Tunde's singing style
with that the falsetto,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
the high pitched, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's such a I want to touch on this before I forget the thought. I think you're responding to this album in a similar way that you responded to Bon Iver's 99 Million, in that it's like an album that's
33.
Yeah, 33, whatever it is, mm-hmm. whatever the hell it's called. It's a bunch of wingding symbols.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The sound of the album almost trying to unmake itself, right? It's like sort of rattling yeah. apart.
And it is a good album, but I lose interest about track five and then I can't come back. Although I should give it another shot because I should just give it another shot. But yeah, yeah. No, that's a good observation because I've always had to keep that album at an arm's length.
There's a connection there in terms of like, and also this very sort of pure falsetto, right? Tunde has an incredible falsetto. So,
right.
Hours. It is a weird slot for two.
It is, yeah.
I think part of it is this, to me, this album is, again, this is well over an hour for running time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of an embarrassment of riches, but tricky. Tricky to put it together in the right, because there are a lot of sort of mid-tempo songs. And then I think that's part of the trick, because it's like, there's enough similarities where something that shows off, I think, with ours and some of the other like a method,
mm-hmm.
Is that a lot of their prior work was much more a cappella oriented, which is, believe me, a total shock to me that I like this band at all coming to their early work, mm-hmm. because it's like there's few things I makes me want to head for the exit faster than a cappella singing. But they really do have some incredible voices. Like you say, this high and then an octave down singing, mm-hmm. as a kind of crazy counterpoint all the time. It's like sort of a Greek chorus kind of effect. It's like even though they're singing the same lyrics almost all the time in tandem,
it's a little haunting.
But they're enough distinct, because normally you think about bands that like have just such incredible, like their voices are so similar or they're so complementary. These voices are complementary, but they're so distinct compared mm-hmm. to some more common arrangements in bands that you can like actively attend to one singer or the other,
mm-hmm.
and that's not common. And I don't remember her name here, but I think unlike later TV on the Radio albums, they employ this female voice as well, which is a very unusual timbre. Like it mm-hmm. also adds more sort of sinister.
I read that
quality.
She was in Wolf Like Me, but I couldn't hear it. But I also haven't listened for it. But I read a lot about a female on, but I believe it was in Wolf Like Me, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you saying to me right now?
I feel like you can hear it on a couple times. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and give that a listen for that particular thing.
Sure.
But what I liked about ours is that it presents, like I said, his singing, his vocal performance, but also his unique melodies.
Mm-hmm.
The TV on the Radio has melodies unlike other bands. I mean, the most commercial sound I've heard from them has been Wolf Like Me. Mm-hmm. And in Dear Science, the track, was it DLZ? Is that what I said? Not DMZ, DLZ, I believe.
Yeah. Dear Science was their commercial breakout.
Dear Science was? It wasn't this one?
This is the critical darling. I don't think it did the same numbers as Dear Science. I could be wrong.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting shit. Well, but yeah, Wolf Like Me is the more radio friendly, and it got the radio play.
Sure.
But nothing else on this album really has that sound. Everything else on this album is just very unusual.
Right.
But yeah, Hours presents that to you. And so Province, track 3. This is, I wish you could see this. I'll show it to you after. I had to, because the melody, there's so many tracks on this album, and melodies are all very unusual. I did like arrows to show myself which way the melody went, and it made sense. So
Konami code, up, up, down, down.
Yeah, left, right, yeah. Left, right. This track features
David Bowie, who was a huge early proponent of the band. I believe they were New York
crazy.
Based. He was cool for decades.
Man.
I know you don't like him, but this guy knew what he heard, and so he stepped up and really championed this band up to the point of lending his voice as a part of a chorus. You could be forgiven for not hearing it, but
you
like,
can hear it when you listen for it. But
when
if you
listen
didn't know,
for it, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember hearing it on the leak and being like, "That's weird. That sounds kind of like David Bowie on that track." And then later, like, "Oh, it was David Bowie,"
which is so crazy. Who on their sophomore album gets David Bowie?
To show up as a backing vocal.
As a backing vocal is right. He's
not
for
guest
sure.
Star.
I'll do it. Yeah.
I'll just step in here in the back. But and yet it's natural here because TV on the radio, almost all the songs, I have to actually consciously attend to that, but I don't think that any of the songs are like just the one. There's a group that I really enjoy. If you like this album, check out Young Fathers, which is a Scottish group that has a lot of this kind of... I've played you some of their stuff, but has a lot of this kind of chaotic energy of like there are three dudes, white and black members, and they share singing duties like throughout all the songs. And it kind of gives us this similar kind of vibe of like there's just such energy and there's so much more... unity, right? There's a more sense of like this is a group of people singing has a very different effect than the traditional rock setup of I'm out front, you stay back there, like clear hierarchy, right? Front man, like even if Tunde could be described as the lead or the front man, the music doesn't present that way because there's almost always more voices,
right?
Which is cool.
Yeah. And I also love this. There was an evocative line in Province that I had to write down. Have you, talking about a previous line, but have you running through all your red-cheeked days?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the lyrics are really wonderful. And yes, the titular line, and love is the province of the brave.
Ta-da.
There you go.
You did it. Playhouses. So you, this again, at this point, in listening to the album, I'm ready for Wolf Like Me.
And you're like, what's going on?
And so usually if I get here, I'm like, okay, we're still not Wolf Like Me yet. I'm going to just go ahead and go to Wolf Like Me. So I skipped Playhouses many times not this past week, but like over the course of trying to listen to this album.
Interesting.
So coming to it and really listening to it this week was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, Playhouses gets nuts. And that's why I said to you earlier this evening, you were reviewing this album and taking notes, and I came and I was like, for an album that's got a lot of crazy tracks, Playhouses is like extra crazy.
It's out there. Yeah. It's super out there. It starts off with an almost demonic sounding vocal.
Yes.
Piece. I was like, you didn't have to go out like that. Like this is it's really loud and kind of, it's just, yeah. And this line, vodka and crayon in your hand, and whose little girl are you now? Ooh, and then beneath the cigarettes and sugar shit of alcohol breath. And I was like, you did not have to attack me.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Because how many times have you been, anytime you've gone out to a bar and someone of the opposite sex comes up or you're all drunk and you're all talking, you're like, jeez Louise.
Yeah.
The alcohol breath is real. But there's this whole like,
but the whole
presentation of everything.
Exactly. It's a very vivid, poetic recollection of what is not very poetic. Right.
Correct.
And especially the way that the kind of clipped staccato delivery of like the sugar shit and alcohol, I can taste the ocean on your tongue is the end of that stanza.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Also, you said vodka and crayon. Is this secretly an ocean spray? This is secret.
Cue rumors. all over again. Here we go. Full circle.
Full circle. Yeah, it's it is. It's so
It's 2006. I mean, they're a little. I don't know how old Tunde is. I think he's at least 5 to 10 years older than me. Maybe not 10.
Right.
No, not 10. Maybe 5.
Please, not 10.
Please, Tunde. Please say that I'm still within striking reach. Tunde, please.
Tunde, do we got a chance?
Tunde,
do we share the same generation? Do we get to claim you as the generation?
What is Tunde Adebimbe's birthday? 75. He's 10 years older than me.
Dang.
I can still get that. Tunde, listen, if you're listening, which you're not.
Listen.
Thank goodness.
Listen, it's a great album. We all know this.
I want to be the sugar shit alcohol girl. Stop. With the vodka cranberry. Gosh. Anyway, listen.
Listen.
Playhouses is a wild fucking track.
Yeah, it what I liked coming back to it, just like I talked about with Deftones on White Pony, the kind of breathe in, breathe out, like vocal styling. Mm-hmm. Not here as far as the vocal styling, but that droning guitar line had that breathing quality of like a sea swell. It was like it played this note and then it played the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of sat there and it was this weird because you have this, especially the crashing chaotic percussion, but then with that guitar drone, it sort of modulates it. It kind of gives it that a broader tempo to work from, because that, I'm sure there were like working versions of this track that were just like, just two bananas. They're like, mm-hmm. We know we're TV on the radio. We love going bananas. Everyone's like nodding along. Yeah, of course. Bloody. Of
yes,
course.
Yes, yes,
like,
yes.
But
yes.
This song is two bananas. And they're like, we gotta take it. We gotta refine it. And then they found that happy medium. Yeah.
And then it closes out and we roll right into it. A very nice segue.
Always. And that's even though it got a lot of single play, that's how I always heard
Wolf Like Me
was that wonderful smooth transition sonically. Mm-hmm. We just roll over into it and then the drums hit and it's awesome. Just chills.
It is the hottest? Oh my.
Hottiest.
Thank you, Whiskey.
Hottiest.
It's the hottest, horniest, gonna jump your bones song ever recorded.
Animalistic. Yeah, absolutely.
Take that, Color Me Bad. I want to sex you up.
Yeah.
Move over. I'm moving you to the side. I'm making room for Wolf Like Me. Wolf Like Me is the single hottest track ever recorded. Take that, everybody else.
What's up?
Take that. Take that, WAP. Take that. So,
I mean, I tend to agree. What I want to... So, as I tendered earlier.
Yes.
This is how they saved the album.
Okay.
Because the original running order, first track, Wolf Like Me, then I Was a Lover, which was the most delirious 1-2 combo. It was incredible. It's still amazing to hear those songs back to back because you're like, what other crazy riches are in store? There are crazy riches, but it meant that you got to roughly exactly this point in the album and you were done because there were just too many like, okay, this is a cool track, but it's kind of mid-tempo. This is kind of a cool track, but it's kind of like, so that's my reigning memory. Cause okay, here's, I had to look at my old files.
Sure. Yeah. What was it? Wolf Like Me.
Wolf Like
Me.
I Was a Lover. I Was a Lover. Then Into Province, which is another great track.
Okay.
But then we get the slowdown to Hours. And I think that's where you get Hours moving up in the running order,
mm-hmm.
to kind of help structure things. Hours, Playhouses, Let the Devil In, Dirty Whirlwind, Tonight. Then A Method, which I think is also a misstep.
Yeah.
A Method, Blues From Down Here, Wash the Day Away.
No. No,
isn't
they
that
absolutely save the album. Absolutely.
And so that's what, like, so I spent time with the album.
Like that?
Months in this running order.
Wow.
And being like, I like this. It's got problems, but I like it. And then to hear that,
speaking
it meant...
Speaking about all my relationships. Yeah.
It was like a thunderbolt from the blue, because that's not an
aspect of recording music as art that the public is usually privy to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so
true.
To actually get, no, and I think there were some small changes into like the mastering or like the mixing between the leak and the final. You can listen to it if you want.
I kind of do want to hear it that way.
It's cool.
Although I think you can't blow your load right off the bat with Wolf Like Me.
Exactly.
It is a killer. It would be a killer.
Right, but
killer
exactly.
First
you
track, but you would have to go up from there, and you can't
exactly.
You can't come out of the doors or out
exactly.
of the gate swinging and then so, be like, the rest of this is still good, but you've already had your beef tenderloin, and now what we have now are breadsticks.
Yeah.
Which are delicious, but they're breadsticks.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was what was the realization was saying,
wow.
Okay, I Was a Lover is a crazy track, but it's also kind of a statement of intent that really works. They had to kind of come, because they knew, they understood Wolf Like Me was their strongest track. Everyone mm-hmm. understood that. But they had to have the confidence to say, I Was a Lover is a weird track, but let's start it there.
Yeah.
And so, and it took a little getting used to myself, but when I heard it that way, I was like, oh, this is the right call. And then, right when, you know, in this running order, again, Province, Hours, Playhouses, Let the Devil In, it just doesn't quite. And so right when, almost exactly in the middle, because, you know, we're talking as, we're disregarding bonus tracks. We're
right.
going 1 to 11, ending at Wash the Day Away. So almost exactly at the halfway point, then you have that cool transition from Playhouses, which is like, which has its power, but again, it is very chaotic.
It is very chaotic.
And then to get that outro, and then ooh, pay attention. Here comes our best track.
Yeah,
right in the almost in the square middle of the album is really cool. And that to me, that's how they save Cookie album. Return to Cookie album.
I love Cookie album.
Cookie album. That's how they save the album as an album.
Yeah,
as a document is to bolster the midsection with Wolf Like Me, because
somebody
then
somebody bolster this midsection. You know what I mean? Have you heard? Can we talk the lyrics for this track for
Go
a second?
On.
Charge me your day rate. I'll turn you out in time. When the moon is round and full, gonna teach you tricks that'll blow your mongrel mind.
Yeah,
it's so
the his yeah no he's a poet.
He knew it.
It's hard. It's hard doing with the consonants and the the alliteration.
Mm.
It's great.
What about that bridge though? The breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Dream me, oh dreamer, down to the floor. Open my hands and let them weave onto yours. Feel me. Oh, I can't read from here. Feel me completer down to my core. Open my heart and let it bleed onto yours. Here we go. Best one. Feeding on fever, down on all fours. Show you what all that howling's for.
Yeah.
Oh!
Well, and like I say, the breakdown, they've gotten slower, and they're starting to like elongate the vocal lines, and they're practically like with, as you know, the I think Tunde's voice dubbed as backing, right, is practically getting into Wolf Howls
right
by
right.
itself, right?
Right,
it's
totally.
Really. And I don't, an allusion to nature, as basic and straightforward as it can be, often doesn't play for me. But
right.
everything in the track, especially the propulsive guitar work, mm-hmm. that fuzzy guitar drone sound that is present through a lot of the album, but it's driving here.
Right.
Everything locks in. Everyone's pulling their weight. Everyone's coming together to make that thesis, you know, play.
This is an incredibly strong song. If you have not heard this song, I demand that you, I will allow you, stop the podcast. Go listen to this song. Come back. And then if you don't have a significant other, get on Tinder. Find someone. This is your day. This is your day. This is your night.
Not during the pandemic. Lisa, come on. We can't. We
mask
can't.
Up. Wolf Like Me is an incredible track.
Powerful. Powerful.
Yeah, I'll say powerful. It's just good. And this is one of those tracks that I somehow never knew all the lyrics to, right? So I was reading it and I was like, whoa.
Right. Yeah. Excuse us.
Ma'am.
Can you say that?
Sir.
I mean, you're not saying anything dirty, but you're saying some things, man.
It's just it's great. I fucking love Wolf Like Me for now and forever since I heard it for the first time.
Yeah. It's powerful.
I think I came to it in 2009, so a few years later. I don't know how it would have taken that long, but such is life. Moved to Seattle. That's how it goes. A method. So we come off of Wolf Like Me, which is a very loud, powerful, driving,
yeah,
intense track, to A Method, which is very bare bones. Starts off with just whistling and clapping, and then you slowly add in just a little bit of other percussion, mm-hmm, instruments, mm-hmm. Like I want to say I heard like a tambourine, maybe,
yeah, something like that,
and something else very light. But it's just it's very interesting. It's perfect that they followed, right, Wolf Like Me, exactly, with that, because you need a break.
Exactly. I've been listening to a lot of Queens of the Stone Age lesser appreciated. I feel like it's an underappreciated album called Era Vulgaris, which is Latin for
whose album?
Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, okay.
Era Vulgaris. Which is Latin for the common era, but it sounds like the vulgar era, right? Like that's, and so he wrote it in 2007, or it came out in 2007, and it's kind of an assault. And there is a song titled Battery Acid hitting, ooh, roughly about in the same point in this album. It actually made me think of a little bit of the downward spiral in terms of like, you're kind of like really pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's release, and
Battery Acid is release on that album.
No, Battery Acid is the pushing.
I was gonna
and
say,
then it comes to the release, and okay. So it's like, and hearing, and the release is I Want to Make It With You, is a really fun, easy poppy song, but it's made sweeter by the opposition, right? Good sequencing raises both of the tracks, and so
yeah,
to have Wolf
point.
Like Me, we blow it out, and then you got to take a breather.
And
right?
A method is perfect. Could
perfect.
Not be more perfect for this. Could not be more perfect.
Yeah, they love their vocal harmonies, and to just foreground just that for a little bit, just a whistle.
It was funny though, because I'd never heard the song until I listened to it the first time when you were in the room and you were humming the melody, which is like has some. I don't know if I want to say minor notes. I don't think that's it, but it has some off-putting melody.
Sure.
And I was like, oh boy, Jack is really singing that wrong. And
I'm so much a better whistler than you too.
Wow. You're really gonna do me like that, huh?
Point is I was correct.
No, you were, but I was listening. I was just like, I can't hear the melody, mm-hmm, over him singing. He's singing it so poorly. This is, and, but then I realized after listening, just like, oh no, they did it like that.
Yeah. It's an unusual melody.
It's a very upsetting melody. And I was like, mm-mm. But it works out perfectly. Perfect. A method is a perfect track. I like it.
It is weirdly, especially if you start whistling that, you will start just whistling it. And then the song starts to basically repeat in your head.
And yeah, you are a better whistler than me. Okay.
You're a better driver. It's okay.
That's true. I'd rather be a better driver than a better whistler.
Okay, Paul Simon. I'd rather be a better driver than a whistler.
I don't ever want to talk about Paul Simon ever again. Let the devil in.
Wow.
All right.
This is my
tree fingers.
Interesting. I feel like it makes explicit the kind of sinister.
Again, hold on. Side note. If you are just listening to this for the first time, Tree Fingers is a track off Kid A's. Or Radiohead's Kid A, which we found to be a song that is not bad, but you are more keen to skip than others.
Yeah,
it is my
song,
your least favorite track on the album.
Yeah, it's the song that you're tempted to skip when on repeat values.
It would be this one.
I don't know if I have a Tree Fingers on this.
There aren't many options, but I did realize that Kip Malone. I'm so sorry, Kip Malone, but when you step in, I sign out.
Interesting.
I don't like his vocal performance at all, even though it's similar-ish to Tunde's. It feels more like a put-on, and that could be a complete misreading of his vocal performance. But it sounds like, not knowing how he sounds normally, and that probably is how he sounds normally. It sounds like an attempt to be like Tunde.
Interesting.
And I'm probably wrong, and I'm fully okay
right,
with
but,
that, and I'm
but
so
if
sorry.
If that's what's in, yeah, if you can't shake that, that's tough to to get around. Interesting. Yeah, I think it just makes good on the promise of the, like, there's a lurking sinister quality through so much of the album, and then it's like, mm-hmm. we're just going to lean in all the way. That's what this song does to me. I already like the bass line. Like, it has a, it just, it, there's a lot of nice pieces. And that's the part that makes me think of Young Fathers now. There's the, I like the sort of the yelly call and response kind of quality to the song.
Who's that guy? Father John Misty? Is that, did I get the name right?
Father John Misty.
Father Misty?
John
Misty the Father. John Misty, Misty the Father John.
Did what about
just,
him?
Nothing.
It Why just, are you bringing him up?
You said father, and so I thought Father
no,
John.
No, I said Young Fathers.
Well, you said, well, but then you said the word fathers. So I thought Father John Misty, who I know nothing about.
My neurons fired, okay?
I'm not doing so good. Dirty Whirl. Dirty Whirl.
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 Love, I think so many of, and that's like the common element, and why talking about an abstract can be a little hard, because like the songs are all good and distinctly good, but they share enough common elements and common DNA. When you start to say, okay, well, let me hum this in my head, you start humming Province, or you start humming a method. You right, start humming, like, right. because to me, I think it speaks to the same kind of like harmony and like vocal performance forward mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like to me, just step back into it, a method is almost like, you can almost imagine in this being like how the track was made, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I've got an idea for melody. Oh, we're going to start clapping along with it. Like,
yep.
It kind of builds.
And it just happened.
Really wonderful, organic way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dirty Whirl is like, it has that same kind of like cyclical energy to it, right. Which is another big part of why I just sat there and listened to this album I don't know how many times, because it has a very cyclical energy right. to it. You just hear it and then hear it again, and there it goes.
Yeah, another Saucepot track on this album, but I would say this is the least effective of all of them.
Interesting.
I did not like this track to begin with. I still don't like it that much, but the fact that it's an earworm, the melody, like it sticks with you, and it's with you, and you're like, I didn't want this. I'm seeing it while I'm making lunch for kids, dadgummit. And so Dirty Whirl is not my favorite, but I do like this line. You could curl me beside you. The spark in your eyes belies the apocalypse inside you. I like that line.
Not easy to pull off. There's a lot of poetry in this album. Yeah, yeah. He's a very strong lyricist. Absolutely.
Blues from Down Here. Another Kip Malone track, which means I'm less inclined. I'm so sorry, Kip. I love you. You probably hate me. That's fine. What bothers me about Malone tracks is the cadence in his vocal performance is less pleasant than Tune Days.
Okay. I hear that.
Yeah. And like I said, he's trying to sound scary with like a deeper, weird voice, which doesn't sound natural. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I just think, especially because his voice is so important in almost all the songs as the kind of counterpoint to that sort of angelic falsetto with Tunde. I think that's...
But it's not always that way. I mean, Tunde's voice can be kind of loud and brash and kind of braying sometimes as well.
It can be. But again, I think that's why I like... this track and Let the Devil In, where it just sort of like takes that to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be very curious about their working method as a band. A method.
I was one half second behind you.
Because that's what I really love about, to mention another band, about Wolf Parade, not Wolf Like Me Parade.
That's a parade I want to
literally see. Literally almost all their albums, with very few exceptions, is they have two lead singers, and the singers write their own songs, and almost all the albums sequence by alternating. And so, like, they just sort of share duties, but it gives it this ebb and flow, and it's the most overt with Wolf Parade. But I just would be curious, because there's a little bit of that dynamic here, And I guess I would want to pay attention to later releases, later and prior releases of TV on the radio, to notice if there are more, like, you know, they say quote unquote Kip songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right,
yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, tonight.
Again, thinking about sequencing, you look at prior in the leak, it goes, "Let the Devil In." Oh, that's funny. "Let the Devil In," "Dirty Whirl," "Tonight" at number 8. And that's peaking too early. "Tonight" right. is such an exquisite, it's a gem. I love,
it's a very great, it's my, I want to say it's my favorite track on the album, above "Wolf Like Me." "Wolf Like Me" is an incredible track. I think this is a better track.
Mm-hmm. I love that for as often as there's so much texture, there's a lot of space, but there's a lot of texture, and there's a lot of like noisy, mm-hmm. fuzzy guitar work,
and like bells and things or right. something. Yeah.
But for this track to kind of step out again, you have a reprieve with gotcha. Method. But for most of this album, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise and buzzy sounds and a lot of sounds going on. So that once you actually hit "Tonight," it's like coming up, like the moon comes out of the clouds,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this very mm-hmm. like clear, beautiful, singing crystalline kind of sound,
mm-hmm.
and then but Psytech still has that. That droning kind of like the real low end to this song is just magnificent.
Yeah.
The whole, again, exquisite. I have always loved "Tonight," and I hadn't listened to this album. I hadn't like remembered just how much I loved this song
mm-hmm.
for a long time. And I'm glad you got to enjoy it.
I did. Yeah. I heard it for the first time when you were in the room, and I was like, what the hell was that? I was like, I didn't know this was on the album.
Yeah.
This song took me down a few pegs. On Saturday or this weekend, yeah. I was like, this is a good song. I listened to it a few times. Like, this song is heavy. The song right. is good, but it's heavy. And it's
heavy.
Yeah, and I don't know, but the melodies and the bareness of the track. I was referencing the bells in this one. I thought you were talking about this track, not others. But the bells and sounds in this mm-hmm. one are really, really refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, a really nice. I don't know. It's a beautiful track. And his vocal performance is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one was good. Little nods to the Telltale Heart here with the lyrics and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's a great track. I would say definitely give the entire album a listen. And if you can't for any reason, you definitely need to give "Tonight" a shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think that's the when they got the sequencing right to put it on track 8 is peaking early.
Correct.
Because here it's like it's a sweet. You can't. I don't think it would be right to end on this, though you could. Some albums would end on a track like this, but I like that we don't end here.
I wanted them to end here.
Interesting.
In fact, I thought that they ended here several times, and then I would be like, oh, because the album I'm listening, or the version,
very gentle, the outro,
right? But the version of this on YouTube Music has the extra album, the extra tracks, bonus tracks and stuff, and so I'd be like, okay, where,
really,
I think there's like an Untitled or something else. There are a couple of other album other tracks too, which I it would just kind of naturally listen to, and I was like, maybe the next track, which is "Wash the Day Away," I thought that was an extra track. And so I was hoping that it ended with "Tonight," but then it was not. And I was like, okay, "Wash the Day Away" is the last track, the actual last track on the album,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty good track. But I am so in love with "Tonight," I'm disappointed the album did not end there.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah.
Well, I'm a little at odds with, because if you look up some of this stuff in terms of, like, spoiler alert, I don't actually own it on CD. I think they did sequence it, like you say. There's all these other component parts in terms of, like, because
there are 4 extra tracks on the 15 tracks total on the album on YouTube Music.
And it ends after "Tonight."
"Tonight," "Wash the Day Away," then "Untitled," "Snakes and Martyrs," "Hours," and LP remix, and "Things You Can Do."
LP being one half of Run the Jewels.
Okay.
An amazing producer.
Why is that cat?
I don't know why he wants to hear. He wants tonight to be the final track on his album.
Okay, so but it's not what we're talking about because those two tracks were the bonus, the North American release bonus tracks.
Okay.
But I don't know what all this other stuff. Well, you know.
Did they have this at the record store? We should have gotten this. Did we even look?
I don't think they had. I didn't look. I would have to get a 12-inch by 12-inch sticker to put on the. I will have to design my own Return to Cookie Mountain cover.
Do it.
I will do it. I will do it. Yeah. That would be the best project. Yeah. No, I hear you. What I like is there's a certain. I like when an album I like it always, right? I like it when they leave you wanting more. I like it when they leave on a note of finality. I mm-hmm. like it when they sort of loop you back in for another listen. And yeah. Wash the Day Away, which in my MP3 collection when I first had the album was there's a typo in the tag, so it said Was the Day Away, WAHAS, and I was
Was
like
the Day Away,
and it's like guitar wah, like I mean it does have a lot of like noise and distortion. I can see it's wahing the day away, and then I was like, oh, Wash the Day Away, because it makes a lot more sense because that's literally what they're saying in the song.
Wait, listen, loser.
Was the day away.
Nimrod.
I like the time that it takes. I like this big sort of pummeling guitar sound, and always that one of the most particular and vivid lyrical images in the whole album is in this in Wash the Day Away, which is little flightless little birds.
I thought it was little flightless metal birds is what
metal. Okay, well I'm sorry, I've never actually looked up the lyrics of this stuff. Metal birds makes more sense than just saying little twice, but I've always the little flightless birds. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about the birds now. Like, and then you're just in this just crazy soundscape as he's describing the scene. And again, he's a poet, right? He has a wonderful, he's wonderfully deft hand at describing images and kind of putting you there. And then the rest of the album does the rest of the work. So,
and that finishes TV on the Radio's Return to Cookie Mountain.
There it is.
It's a great album. You should definitely listen to it. The Davids of the world, listen to it. You may or may not like it. There's bound to be at least one track on here that you like. Try Wolf Like Me, Try Tonight, Try a Method.
I Was a Lover
is a really cool track. Playhouses, I don't know, man. If
just
that,
listen
if,
to it.
If you're into that kind of thing, and I don't judge you.
Try each track, and then before you know it, hey, wait.
I listened to the whole fucking album.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
But do it in order. You won't be sorry. Pretty sure. Yeah. The whole point of this is to tell you not to skip the album. Don't skip it. Except for maybe what was the track I said I didn't like.
Dirty World. Was that it?
No, it was the...
No, Let the Devil In.
Let the Devil In.
Okay.
Sorry. So that's Return to Cookie.
What's your takeaway?
What did I say earlier? Sloppy Glossy?
Yeah, it's Sloppy Glossy.
Is that appropriate, though? Because, I mean, it's such a good... It's loose. Sloppy is not it. Loose.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're not trying to be tight, and they don't have to be. They're not everything has to be refined about this album, and in so many ways, it's not. But it is perfect in that way. Mm-hmm. I love the looseness of it, so I would say loose. Yeah.
Loose. I like that. I would say... I would say choral, like as in chorus, right?
Yeah, no, of course.
The fact that there's those unified voices throughout is like, it's really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. There are very few albums that are like this. And I think that's one of these things where like we can talk about it. We can talk about it for an hour. We can pick some of these strings. You can pull on some of these threads, but it doesn't really touch what the power of the sum of, it's far more than the sum of its parts. So
absolutely.
Go figure.
Absolutely. So there it is. TV on the Radio's Return to Cookie Mountain. Now next week, we are finally going to tackle what I believe to be the two most intimidating albums on our list.
Interesting.
I'm very intimidated by these. We're going to do...
Now that Bitches Brew is probably off the chart.
What would you want me to say? Oh, there's music. I did it. I had no lyrics to rest my hat on.
Yeah. We learn things about ourselves with music. Thank you, music.
Thanks, music.
Can we just take a moment to say thanks, music?
Shout out to music. Thank you for what you do for me. I love what you do for me. Toy music. Which one?
We're talking West Coast versus East Coast. Which one? Big beef. Let's do Tupac.
Okay. I was leaning towards Tupac as well. So we're doing All Eyes on Me.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Tupac's All Eyes on Me next week. That's going to be tough.
Finally.
I am terrified of this one. And if we're doing Tupac, All Eyes on Me next week is Notorious B.I.G.
Mm-hmm. Next week.
I'm sorry. Next week. Yes. Thank you. These are two very intimidating albums. Which is the Notorious B.I.G. one? It's not. Oh, shit.
It's not next week. Don't talk about it.
No, I know, but I can't remember what the name of the one is that we were going to recover.
Take it easy.
No, I don't take anything easy. You know, I don't work like that. I've got it written down. Ready to Die.
Yeah.
That's the one we're going to do. You. So we're going to do All Eyes on Me versus Ready to Die. Not versus, but we are going to do...
Wow, look at someone's just starting back up the East Coast versus West Coast beef.
I'm also thinking 90s court style, maybe I just made our next podcast, Andy. Sorry, but we're gonna do Tupac's All Eyes on Me
right on
next week. So wish us luck. Wish me luck. Jack will be fine. Wish me luck. I'm gonna do the best I can to not embarrass myself next week. But it's a great album. So I'm ready for it. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week with Tupac. Take care.
Was the day away?
Good night.